16 years ago, we the people were attacked and confronted as a nation by militant Islamic terrorists. Why do people not use that word today? Our very own World Trade Center, centers of business and commerce, and symbols of the economic greatness of America, were destroyed by these vicious jihadists. Terrorists. You could well say that act of terror on our very own soil was a wake-up call. That act of war was no longer war over there, but right here on American soil. America, no matter its defense, was by no means immune to attack by hateful foreign countries, and by no means immune to terrorists. War of that kind, perhaps even someday nuclear war, since nuclear bombs can now be carried in a suitcase, did you know that? That nuclear warfare could very well happen in our very own country, our cities, and to our very own people, you and me. Do we really appreciate that? We should have learned from that 9/11 incident that radical Muslims like ISIS would be ready to attack the great Satan. The great Satan, that's us, America, at any time. That was the lesson we should have learned from 9/11. From the destruction of the World Trade Center towers. Have we? I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. There is a new kind of warfare at work for which the civilized world is simply not prepared. It is warfare jihadists developed and created with all new military tactics designed to defeat the West, in fact, civilization as we know it. This war is a war of terrorism, which is not mere isolated acts of violence by individuals or groups, or even unrelated entities. This jihadist terrorism is war by a militaristic force and ideology which targets an enemy, burrows deep, camouflages its soldiers and its weapons, and starts from the bottom up, one explosive event at a time. Whether suicide bombers, vehicles plowing into people and crowds, kidnapping and terrorist attacks, or assassinations, or missiles, jihadist terrorism will use any tactic, any weapon, to accomplish its purpose. And that purpose can be summarized in three words, inspired by the Quran. Kill the infidel. Kill the infidel. And that would be you and me, holding other faiths and beliefs. And that infidel would also include anyone everywhere who did not embrace and convert to Islam. Convert or be killed. So goes the peace-loving theology of Islam and the Quran. And when it comes to the infidel, any and all kinds of killing are fully justified. And that, my fellow Americans, was the real lesson of 9/11. Jihadists warned us that even as the World Trade Center towers crumbled, so would all of America sooner or later. Terrorism is the perfect warfare for this day and age. It's a military strategy which cannot be defeated, for it never ends. When one terrorist dies in jihad, on his way to collect his 70 virgins in heaven, there is always another ready to replace. Terrorism begins with small bands of individuals determined to wreak havoc. It grows into larger movements and sooner or later becomes Hamas or Hezbollah. It attracts and converts so many, and especially the young, to war, to jihad. It's an honor, they think. Terrorism is ultimately sponsored and fostered by evil and demonic nations like Iran, especially Iran, or Yemen, or even encouraged directly or indirectly by nations such as Turkey and Egypt, and now the great and to be feared nation, Russia itself. Russia's back. We better pay attention to that nation. And when jihad has that kind of financial backing and that kind of aggressive military support, there is no way it can be defeated. No way at all. So get ready, America. It is not a question of if jihad and terrorism will strike at our great country, but only when. When? Terrorism strikes at any level. It hits hard, both large and small targets. It can strike at our military, even our very Pentagon itself. It can and it will attack soft targets like hospitals. Remember Hadassah in Israel? Or it can wage all-out war as it does in Afghanistan. Terrorism. The jihadists, whether Hamas, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, or any other evil group, is diverse, multifaceted, and virtually impossible to track or identify in so many ways. It is like a hydra with many heads, and when one head is cut off, another grows. There are always terrorists in the waiting, always in the waiting, because human life to them is cheap and expendable. The promise of eternal reward virtually eliminates the fear of dying or loss of any pleasures in this world. They're going to get it up there. Think now how terrorism works in Gaza. Weapons of all kinds and sizes, including and especially missiles, are housed in hospitals, mosques, schools, even United Nations facilities. They are hidden in homes where people live, expendable for the cause these homeowners are. These evil jihadists have no compunction when it comes to using human beings as shields for military efforts. Gazan Arabs populate the rooftops, stay in schools, roam the streets where weapons exist in an effort to prevent attack and counterattack. Hamas and other such groups have absolutely no regard for human life, especially Jewish human life, or even for that matter their very own people. Whatever it takes to win the war of terrorism will be done. And that, my fellow Americans, is the lesson of 9/11, September 11, 2001. So, I wonder if we ever really learned that. And if we did, boy, how soon we forget. On that fateful day, many so good and innocent human beings, most of them our very own citizens, died. Perhaps as many as 4,000 September 11 fatalities. Perhaps the greatest city in America, and perhaps even the world, was openly and aggressively attacked. And we responded. We protected after the fact, and we did rebuild. That act of terrorism eventually occasioned a war in Iraq, however justified, which escalated warfare and terrorism the world over. We the people attacked terrorism in Afghanistan. Again, however justified, we reacted. We did our best. But our best was simply not good enough. We thought we had restored liberty, at least in some manner, to the nation of Iraq. Look at it now after so many times of fighting, loss of lives, and the expenditure of billions upon billions of dollars, our dollars. It really seems no better than it was in the brutal and evil era of Saddam Hussein. And that is the real lesson we should learn as a presumably civilized nation. And that lesson is, it is impossible to defeat terrorism. Impossible. For terrorism, like moles burying, can attack us, and all through means military, and economic, and social, and even constitutional. Watch out for Sharia law. It's coming, or it's going to try. And judicial, and even education. Terrorism, jihadism comes at us in every direction. Terrorism attacks any way it can. For we are an open society, essentially tolerant, and liberal, and peaceful at heart, willing to pursue any and all means to avoid war and accomplish peace. And that makes us an open and ready target for terrorists and jihad. We are easily lulled to sleep when we should be watchmen on the walls. It really seems to me in some cases that we really do not take terrorism seriously enough when we should fear it greatly. We have forgotten, and the lessons learned then seem now long gone. We recall the day and the event. We do. And we call it Patriot Day. But that seems something only historical now, and not of current concern. We go back to our lives, living them as though it won't happen again. In fact, we are probably more open and vulnerable to attack even now, perhaps more so than any nation in the world. Our borders are insecure, our vigilance is compromised, our concern is lacking, and it seems as though our desire to protect our nation from a military standpoint is minimal at best. We are ripe for yet another 9/11, my fellow Americans, and, oh, God help us, perhaps much more. Perhaps we must adopt the philosophy and mentality of the Jews, the Israelis, who will never, ever forget those haunting words of once Prime Minister Menachem Begin. Never again. Never again will a Holocaust happen to the Jews. We will never forget so that it will never happen again. But we do forget, and the world continues to yearn for peace. We pray for peace as we are taught, even as the Jews and all Christians pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem. But evil abounds everywhere. There are now wars in so many places, whether open and aggressive or terroristic in nature. There are acts of war and violence and mayhem happening on a regular basis. Watch out for Russia. Everywhere. These wars and rumors of wars signal the beginning of the end, the last days, at least the last days of civilization as we know it. Ready for war come nations like North Korea, and again, Russia, and Libya, and Turkey, and the Sudan, and of course the very worst nation of all, Iran. Iran, the worst. They are ready for war, whether all out, or nuclear, or one event at a time. They are motivated by September 11, which to them signals the weakness of America and seems symbolic of the military weaknesses and lack of resolve of the entire West. We, the civilized, would do virtually anything to prevent war, while they, the uncivilized, from the culture of death, would do anything to foster war of any kind. And there really is no dialogue, and no compromise, and no ceasefire, no negotiations which matter or mean anything. Conquering and utterly destroying the infidel, the enemy, is all that matters, and even compromise itself is but one additional step toward victory. They don't mean it. What they want is ultimate victory, even as September 11, 2001 was the first step in the conquering of America. However long it takes, and they are determined. We should be haunted by the words of one Hamas leader who stated openly the following: "We will destroy America. We will destroy America. Not conquer it, not conquer it, but destroy it." And the words of yet another Hamas leader who stated the following: "The flag of Islam will fly at the White House." Can you believe that? The flag of Islam will fly at the White House, and that is their objective, and they're willing to die for it. Well, my fellow Americans, you better believe that for them, that is the ultimate goal. 9/11 only whets the Arab appetite, renewed passion to kill the infidel. That war wages now in the Middle East, and especially in Israel. It's always there. It's always there. But the West is next. Recall well, my fellow Americans, that this Israel, so hated by virtually all Arabs, is only the little Satan. The real target, the real infidel, is none other than our own great country, which terrorists call the great Satan. The great Satan, America. Jihadist Islam will never rest, never, until such time as there is no more America. When Islam prevails and Sharia law rules, there will be war and rumors of war until that happens. You could be sure of that. Ah, my fellow Americans, I fear for our great country because we are unprepared mentally, psychologically, and militarily for what is sure to come. Perhaps more acts of terror must occur before we are aroused. Perhaps we need to lose more of our society and culture, and more of our fellow citizens before we are aroused and ready to respond. Perhaps a major event, even a nuclear event, God forbid, must occur, perhaps it must, before we truly begin to defend our great country within and without. There is still time, but that time grows short. 9/11, September 11, is a fading memory. a lesson not really learned. For history unlearned, my fellow Americans, and unheeded, will always repeat itself. Always. For we the people have not learned the lesson never forget. And never again. No more 9/11s, terrorists. Someday we will learn that lesson one way or another. But my fellow Americans, on Patriot Day and Patriot Week, we should never forget our fellow citizens, our heroes who died on that fateful day, September 11, 2001. We should never forget them. We should honor them and respect their memories. We should revisit the event and watch the pictures, see it all over again so the horror of that event, of death at work, stays alive. Even as we do pray for peace, we should now more than ever pray for peace. And at the same time, we must become watchmen and women on the walls of America, protecting, preserving, and defending all we are and all we have, our institutions, our way of life, our very civilization. We are called upon to serve our country as never before. There is only one America, and once freedom is gone, once we lose it, it's gone forever. Islam, and especially jihadist Islam, is, in the words of Winston Churchill, a retrograde force in the world, and we must fear its triumph and prevent that from happening. Islam, terroristic Islam, is determined to rule the world, and that includes especially so our beloved America. We should be willing to do anything and everything necessary to prevent that. That, all of that, is the message of 9/11. We call that memorable day and event Patriot Day. So then, what happened on 9/11 is a message, a wake-up call to all of us, to all American patriots. And I pray you are one as I am. And I am ready, like American revolutionaries of old, to lay all on the altar to preserve, protect, and defend this great country. Are you? I pray you will do the same. So we ask today and all this week that God Himself will bless America. Such a good thing. Perhaps we should also pray that God would save America and prevent the triumph of the forces of evil. But that, so saith the Scriptures, will not happen unless we the people humble ourselves before this almighty power. Boy, that's difficult to do, for pride runs rampant. And pray with passion and all of our hearts for peace, and to seek His will, the will of the Almighty, and His guidance and direction, and most importantly, turn from our ways, often selfish and egotistical, and dare I say it, sinful, and follow His ways, the way of peace. Perhaps then and only then will we find His blessing. So never forget, my fellow Americans, please never, ever forget September 11, 2001, and say and believe with all your heart, never again, never again.